If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Colossians chapter 4 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 2. Colossians 4 and 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here this morning before your word. We thank you, Father, for its truthfulness. We pray that we would just allow you to speak, not just to our minds, but to our hearts, to our lives. And as a result of our time together this morning in your word, we might be better prepared to serve you this week. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are coming down to the end of our study in the book of Colossians, this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, a church he has not been to. You may remember there's a companion letter, the shorter letter of Philemon, that he writes to one of the elders in this church. We're coming down to the end of that study. My plan is on Wednesday night to finish this, because there's a list of names and folks that are greeting them and that Paul wants to bring them up to date with. And we're going to look at those names and individuals and the circumstances surrounding them, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. And that will bring us then to 1 Thessalonians. But as we're wrapping up this letter, as we're wrapping up our study in the book of Colossians, we are reminded that our faith is to inform the way we act and the way we think. Genuine believers, those who have truly come to understand the grace of God by faith in Christ, will not compartmentalize their faith. They will not just practice their faith in certain places and at certain times. A genuine believer is going to allow that grace, that faith, that finished work of Christ to permeate every area of his life. And as Paul is bringing this to a conclusion, he gives us two commands to aid in our pursuit of this faith that just consumes us. So he says, devote yourselves to prayer, verses 2-4. Devote yourselves to prayer. And just this first warning, keeping alert, reminds us that, again, Paul is not suggesting that we spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in some kind of a prayer meeting. One, that's not what he's talking about, and two, that's just not practical. That just isn't going to happen. But keeping alert, continually being aware of prayer and the benefit of prayer, is something that should just permeate our lives. I know personally the challenge of a prayer meeting when it gets to be just a little too long, or the timing is just not quite right. I remember my father, taking me to a men's prayer group. And it was a prayer breakfast. And for me, it was a little early. And they made the mistake of feeding me first. And so we were sitting there, kind of in a circle, and we were praying. And I knew the plan was to go, you know, from one to one to one to one to pray. And as we're getting started, I'm already thinking, okay, this is what I want to pray about. And the next thing I know, I wake up and they're like three guys on down. I hadn't kept alert. I hadn't even stayed awake. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. What Paul is talking about is the same thing that he has encouraged others to do. Practice the presence of God. Understand that wherever you are, He is always right there with you. You can talk with Him like you talk with anyone. There is no prayer language. You can speak with Him like you would speak with anyone. Now, we need to be aware of who He is, but He invites us into His presence at any point and to direct our thoughts to Him at any time. We don't have to go to a special place. We don't have to assume a special position. We don't have to wait for a special day. At any moment, we need to be able to realize that, oh yeah, I'm right there and He's right here, and I can share what's concerning me. We need to keep alert to that. Again, if you have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, then there's no room for anything that you've earned, no room for any need to go somewhere and do something before you can approach God. No, He's already there. You just need to recognize that fact. Keep alert to His presence. And then following that up, he says, with an attitude of thanksgiving. Our prayers should be saturated with thanksgiving. It doesn't happen often enough in my life, and maybe not in your life either. Sometimes, for some of us, it's very easy to think in terms of prayer, what do I need from God? What do I want from God? What's my list that I've got for God? Okay, so we go to prayer and say, now, God, I need this, I need this, please do this, be with her, take care of him, this situation, that situation. I've just got my list, I have my prayer list. And there's nothing wrong with having the list. I need one just to help stay alert and to remember what I need to be praying for and the needs of others. I need that. But what should permeate all of that is the attitude of thanksgiving. Thankful that I can come. God, you said it's okay for me to come into your presence and talk to you. Have you ever thought it would be nice if you could go talk to so-and-so and just give them a piece of your mind? You fill in the blank. There is no one in your life more important than the God of the universe, and he says, come anytime. So why wouldn't you be thankful? Thank you, Lord, for the promise from your word that I can approach you at any time with anything. The God of the universe. And you will listen to me, just me. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. And because you've done all that you've done, that's part of why I'm here. I know I can ask. And thank you for not doing everything I've asked you to do. I've been around long enough to know it's a good thing you don't do everything I ask you to do. But you always do what's best. Your will is always done, and I thank you for that. It's kind of hard to understand all of it, But I've been told that I can come and ask you for anything at any time, but you're not obligated to give me anything at any time. But thank you for that. Thanksgiving should just permeate everything. Every prayer, every opportunity that we have to approach God. And then down here in verse 5, he says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. Permeate your life with prayer. That's the first command that will aid in our pursuit of living out our faith. Permeate your life with prayer. And then conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. Paul's talking about unbelievers. The unbelievers that you have opportunity to come into contact with. Now here in this church in Colossae, there were Gentiles, there were Jews. They've come together because of their love for Jesus. And I'm not real sure where they're at in that process. They're still learning. The church has not been around that long. But they're learning how to mix their cultures and backgrounds, all under the leadership, the lordship of Jesus Christ. But they still have unsaved family and friends. They still have unsaved folks they work with, neighbors they live beside. And Paul is saying, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward them. Think about how you're acting, how you're responding to them. They're unbelievers. They're victims of the evil one. Think of how you can respond, how you can act toward them in such a way that God could use your example to draw them to himself. That's what he means by conduct yourself with wisdom. You know the truth. He's not saying go and, you know, pound on their doors and, but live your life wisely. Live it well. So that when you have the opportunity to share your faith, you have an opportunity. And there's nothing there that says that you're living inconsistently. When you talk about a God who loves them, they should be able to see in you your love for them, your love for one another. It should be consistent. Let your speech, verse 6, let your speech always be with grace. When you're visiting with unsaved family, when you're visiting with that unsaved coworker, maybe at a break table or at lunch, when you have a confrontation, and you don't know, you know, when that checkout person is short and gruff, that doesn't mean they're an unbeliever. It maybe just means they're having a bad day, but you don't know. How do you respond? Angrily? Gruff? Return what you've gotten? Or do you try to reflect the love of Christ and honestly say, I hope your day gets better? Demonstrating grace as you have been the recipient of such great grace. Remember, he's talked about that a lot in this letter and the others we've studied. Because of the grace we have received, we should be able to share that grace. We should be able to reflect that to others. in the way we listen, in the way we speak, in the way we respond. And then he says, in the middle here of verse 6, seasoned with salt. Grace and salt. Now, salt does a lot of things, but two just immediately come to mind. One is, it's a great spice. It flavors things. And it can take something that is okay and just make it really, really good. You could say something, you could respond to someone in a correct way, or you could do it with salt. You could do it in a way that makes it easier to understand, easier to appreciate. Let them know the attitude with which you're sharing it, with grace, with salt, make it a little easier to understand. Salt is also a great preservative. That's why Jesus said we're to be salt and light. So here toward unbelievers, as we share the grace we've been given, also with an attitude of seasoned with salt. To help them understand who they are in the light of who God is. That can be hard to do. That can be hard to hear. But if it's shared with an attitude of love, it can be a little easier understood. So that as you have an opportunity to share your faith with others, you'll know, he says here at the end of verse 6, you'll know how to respond to each person. How many opportunities will you have this week to share your faith? You say, well, I don't know. It's not really something I think of a whole lot. You know, I haven't had a lot of training and not real sure how to do that. But I've told you before, sharing your faith is simply telling your story. You live your life in such a way that someone will see you and say, well, why did you respond that way? Why weren't you angry like I was? Why can you come to work so happy? And then you tell your story. It doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's just your story. How you came to Christ and the change that He's made in your life. St. Francis said, share your faith every day. If you have to, use words. Reminding us that we need to live consistently with what we say. When we speak of the love of God, they should be able to think already, oh yeah, that's why you're so kind and compassionate. Our lives consistent with our words. Be ready. Having spent time in prayer, anticipating how you might share your faith, if given the opportunity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this study in the book of Colossians. Paul loved these people. He'd never met them, most of them. He knew a handful, but he'd never been there, never worshiped with these folks. But he loved them. And he knew of the challenges that they were having. And you used him to encourage them. And through that, challenge and encourage us. Thank you, Father, for the lessons learned. I pray, Father, that not just our minds, but our hearts and our lives have been changed as we've walked together through the book of Colossians. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.